What up, nerds? Welcome to The Unwind, a show where we talk about tech, games, gadgets, and geek culture. If you've seen the show before, you will definitely recognize the three of our voices, at least. We're actually changing the format again. I think this is, 3.0, 4.0 that we're on right now. We like to keep it fresh. So we're going to be doing these live broadcasts now, and we're going to be focusing more on short form. So we're going to get into one topic at any time, try to keep them to about 10, 15 minutes or so. And also, you'll be able to watch us live. You can see our faces. We're actually going back to the roots because the original shows that we did were on video and live and everything like that. But now we can make them more current, make them more frequent, and then, you know, make it better for you guys to listen to. So
I mean, the unfortunate downside is that we used to record completely naked, and now we actually have to be somewhat clothed.
Well, I mean, we could still do that. We'll just have to upload to a different
I'm not
channel.
Wearing pants. You don't know me.
Anyway, so we're your hosts. I'm Rob Steller.
I'm Sean Thomas.
And I'm Josiah Hills. So for tonight's topic, we are going to... This is actually going to be the first of a series where we look at... the future of UI and IO, so user interfaces and input-output, so to speak, on new devices. So the first thing we want to talk about is voice assistance. And this is the idea of using your voice to control a computer, a device, etc. So whether that device might be your smartphone, your laptop. So on a smartphone, we've got Google Hangouts, Google Assistant, And what's the other one before Google Assistant came out? Just the Google app, right? Or Google Now, I guess.
Now,
right?
On tap, yeah.
Yeah, Now on tap. And so on
although that was
on Apple, we have Siri. They've added that to their desktops as well as their iPhone. And then on Microsoft, we've got Cortana, and we've also got Amazon Voice Services with I don't want to say the name, but Echo.
Yeah.
And so those are some of the examples out there, and even you could go further back to something like Ford Sync, right, through Microsoft. That in my old Ford, and I hated it because basically you had to remember, you know, specific sentences to say to get things to work, right? So I always felt that was a little awkward. And so the holy grail for that, for this type of UI, is conversational speech, right? So you just, it's almost as if you actually had an assistant behind you and you'd said, hey, I kind of want movie tickets to whatever. When is that showing? And it would just figure out what the hell you're talking about, right? So any other examples that I maybe skipped over, guys, or you want to jump into your experience with these things?
Yeah, I think those are the big ones. There are probably, knowing how these things work, I'm sure there's a Chinese equivalent on a lot of Chinese Android phones that we don't know about, but I feel like that covers the main ones that everybody uses. And I don't know. I think it's funny how they all got named in certain ways, in different ways. And I guess we can't always say the names because we don't want to do the trigger word, but... it's funny how people...
All of my devices are going to go off as soon as you start saying these things.
I know. Well, I mean, there's so many angles to it. But yeah, I think that covers the big ones.
Yeah, so when we look at these, let's talk about what are some of the strengths of these voice assistants or voice UIs. And then let's talk about some of what's not so great, right? And we can talk about... So I mentioned before previously that this is going to be a series, and this is the first of four different UIs that we're going to talk about. And we wanted to talk about voice UI first because this is by far the most prevalent of the other UIs that we're going to discuss. So we have the most examples. So with this one, we can talk, I guess, more personally with our own experiences. And so we can talk about what's good with that right now, and then also what's some of the bad, and kind of compare and contrast the different offerings out there. So I'll start. You guys know I'm the Apple kid on the block, and so I've been using Siri. And for certain things, Siri's pretty decent. It's okay. Right. So like I have a long commute. We've said that several times. And so in the commute, you know, if I get a text message or even in Slack or something like that, I can just have it read my messages. And I've actually turned on the. So with Siri, you can say specifically like read my messages and it will read your text messages or your iMessage. But if I get a Slack, I can't actually tell it to read those things because it works off an API and Apple hasn't opened up that API to everything. So that's a little annoying. I can't say read my Slack messages or something like that. So that's a little bit broken. And then also it doesn't have kind of the contextual conversation. So the shining example or shining failure or flaming failure, however you want to put it, is one time I was I used to work with the Big Brothers Big Sisters program, and so I was with my little and we were trying to go see a movie, and so I asked Siri, I said, okay, where is this movie showing? And we started driving, and then I said, okay, when is it showing? And it didn't know what I was talking about. Like, it forgot that it just told me the movie listings, and the movie listings were still on the screen. But it forgot that I was like, well, take me there. And it forgot that I was talking about the movie. So that's pretty broken in my mind. What do you guys think about your experience either with Siri or Cortana, Rob, or Google now?
So I definitely started with Cortana. I think I had had the Windows phone with Cortana before I switched to iPhone briefly for that crazy experiment we did. and I honestly found Cortana to be a little bit more conversational than Siri. Like Siri seemed to be more of those like trigger words to me. At least this is, you know, a couple of years ago, years ago when I was using this. So it's improved since. But Cortana tended to be more conversational back then, which I liked. But that said, I mean, I currently have Cortana on all of my computers with Windows 10, and I can't say I ever use it.
Correct.
I think that there's a barrier of talking to my computer that is different than talking to my phone or talking about. So I will say right now, so since I've switched over to Android for mobile devices, I've got Google Home on my phone. I've got Google Assistant on my phone. I have Google Home, which has Assistant on it.
Did you set up the multiple voice recognition?
Not yet. So the way that works is you have to have other people log in and train it through their device.
Okay.
So I can't do all of the voices from my device, if that makes sense.
Gotcha.
So I also have an Android Wear watch. So I have Google Assistant kind of always around me. Regardless of whether I'm home or whether I'm out.
Sergey Brin actually walks behind him. And he's like, oh,
he is my assistant. Yeah. So I will say I do utilize it quite a bit. Just how you mentioned kind of the car uses. So sending text messages, I always use it to play music. Regardless of whether I'm in the car, on my phone, and at home, so using that, I will say the Google Home is also very useful for cooking.
Oh yeah.
So doing measurement conversions is pretty handy, and then also I forget what the exact context was, but I asked it what I could substitute ingredients with, and it gave me some good results for that. I mean, it's scraping Google searches at that point, but so for that particular example, it worked. And I think, I know Alexa has a lot of the, I forget the apps, what they're called, the different ones.
Skills.
Oh man.
Skills. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. So I know Google's kind of expanding to catch up to those skills. And they just added a big recipe one. So you can look up recipes and things like that. So,
yeah.
So it's definitely, they're quickly improving, like month over month and year over year, they're getting exponentially better, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Sean, do you want to throw in any additional experience?
I mean, you mostly covered it since primarily I use it on my phone. So this gets into a lot of the things of when you're actually going to use voice assistants, because while they can do a lot of things, I mean, there are very few situations which you really need to use it. I think one way that Rob summed up Google Home or Alexa, people kind of weren't expecting it to blow up like it did, and it became useful. And one of the things it does so well is the always on thing. That's one thing that for a while prevented me from using on phones. Now, Google added earlier the way on your phone you can kind of activate it without having to actually be at the home screen or whatever. Although it it varies based on phone. I know that Apple has that now. With most phones, you can do it without plugging into power, right? But yeah. Not all phones.
Yeah, basically the 6 and 6S, you can just say, "Hey Siri," that type of thing, and it doesn't have to be plugged in, and it doesn't have to be. It doesn't matter if the phone is locked. If you set it up that way, I don't set it up that way. So my phone is locked and I can't activate it with Siri. And that's just a privacy thing that I prefer to have turned on. So I think you guys kind of hit it on the head, right? Is that it comes in really handy when you need to be hands-free, right? Like you're in the kitchen and you've got, you know, flour on your hands or something, or your hands are wet, or you're driving and you can't be fiddling with your phone. But when you're in the office, you don't necessarily want to talk to your computer when there are four other people around you in cubicles. It starts to feel a little weird. And I think that's always going to be one of the shortcomings of a voice assistant or a voice UI, unless they get to the point where I've heard some stuff. I don't know how science fiction-y this is or if it's more on point, but I've heard about technologies that can basically sense the muscles in your voice. So you don't actually have to vocalize. You don't have to speak out loud. You just speak under your breath, and it should be able to read what you're saying. But I don't know how close or how far that is. But that plus the fact that it's always going to speak the feedback to you. And so I've actually heard that the latest rumor is that Amazon, for their Echo, is going to be adding a screen soon. Microsoft, if they come out with a product, they probably will add a screen so you can use Cortana in the house, because sometimes the feedback, you just don't want to have, like, if you say, "What's the forecast for this week?" You don't want to listen to it to say, you know, 7 different temperatures plus the high and low. So it's really saying 14 different temperatures, and you're going to forget it by the time you get to Wednesday. So the idea of just like showing a simple screen with that makes a lot more sense.
That's one hilarious thing about Google Home. So it'll return the top result if you ask a question, the top Google result. There might be some more complexity to the algorithm, but in general, Google's been doing this whole thing as part of their search that they will answer your questions. Like even if you just do a regular web search on your computer, it'll show you an answer. The problem with that is oftentimes they're long answers, and you could have the assistant talking for like a half hour and just keep going, and you can interrupt her, but it seems a little rude. And then it just seems like a funny situation where you're just like, I don't know. Like, how do I make this? You mix this, 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 and this. You add it for 425, and it's like she keeps talking. It's like when I have a situation where I have to turn on a street that has an unusually long name, and then it tells me, "You must turn right on this. Turn right on this. Make sure you turn right on." Like, it keeps telling me, and it's such a long thing.
Yeah. I still feel bad telling Google to stop talking. Like, it makes me really awkward. I will say the other thing, too, Josiah, that you touched on earlier is just contextual awareness. In the middle, you know, after consecutive queries. And Google is pretty decent at that. I remember there was at one point where I was just testing it, and I was asking, how many who's the top scorer right now in La Liga or something like that. And then I asked, I kept saying like he instead of Messi or Ronaldo or something like that, and they would pick up on
it's
that
always
and,
Messi
and keep going. Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
But it's getting there. And I think that's so like the Holy Grail is, you know, like the movie Her, right? Where it's basically you can't distinguish between talking
where you fall in love with your Google.
Yeah. Don't tell Monica that. But yeah, I mean, essentially, we want to get to this point where it's hard to tell you're not talking to a human. And I know one of the other parts of the series will be talking about message bots, and that's kind of the same thing.
Right.
Where you want to get to this point where you can't actually tell whether you're talking to a person or a bot.
Yeah, so I think, you know, if we look at in the near future and the long-term future, what do we want to see and what could the impacts be? So I know we want more contextual conversations. We want better just speech recognition, right? Like it actually knows what I said, that type of thing. Maybe the option to not speak as loudly or not even speak at all, just kind of under your breath and it hear you, quote unquote, hear you, that type of thing. What impacts do you see, like, if this gets perfected, right? Like, if it gets to, like, Star Trek-type computer or her-type AI to have that kind of conversational stuff, what do you think that means for life as we know it?
Yeah, I mean, a big part of it's integration with the other apps that we use. And Josiah, you said this in the beginning of this, introing this, right, in that there was an issue where you couldn't read your Slack messages.
Yeah.
The end goal, I would think, is basically any app that I have on my phone or anything that I do on my day-to-day basis. So I say, okay, create a reminder. Well, actually, so you can create reminders, but create a task in Asana to do this and remind me to do it then. Yeah. And, just keep building on these more complex tasks that anything that I would be doing on my phone, I could essentially just do voice control.
Right. And actually, I neglected to mention that Bixby is not quite available in English yet. It just came out in Korean. That's Samsung's assistant on the Galaxy S8. And then also Samsung bought Viv. And there's still some speculation as to whether Bixby is a rebranding of Viv. And the stuff that I've read most recently suggests that it is not, that they haven't actually yet implemented Viv.
I've heard the same.
Because Viv will let you do what you just described, Rob, without APIs. It's actually going to code itself to make these connections between other apps and kind of figure that out on its own through machine learning, which will be really impressive. And it's almost like those programs that like can actually read what's on the screen rather than you... And managing like a DVR that way rather than actually having an API to talk to another program and read through data structures. So pretty interesting future. Sean, you want to jump in?
Well, one quick thing on the last point. I think still there's going to be a situation because of the social aspect. I still don't see breaking that far out of enclosed private spaces unless they really go for what you were saying, Josiah, where even under your breath might be difficult. Maybe if it knows what you're thinking, which seems a little creepy, but until then, like your car, your home, it seems perfect for a smart home. Mm-hmm. That was always like, not the holodeck, but in Star Trek, you can just call out and say something. Those seem like perfect spaces for it, and I think they have to build around that. I think they are getting it to be better at context is really important as well. And it also, you kind of underestimate how complex that is for AI because it's so simple for humans to do. Mm-hmm. But that is important. But I don't like, so Google got in some hot water recently because you can kind of game the Google algorithm, the search, to put something at the top of the search result that might not be correct. And there were situations where I think people, I don't remember what the exact question was, but it was something about fake news. It was totally incorrect, but it had gotten to the top, and that meant that Google Home was going to give you that answer because that was at the top. I think they have to find a way to weed that out. But at the same time, I don't know how much people are going to be asking questions like that. I think definitely, like you said, the cooking example, I think there are still very specific examples people are going to use it for. I don't know how much it's going to expand to like literally what an assistant does. I guess that's the hope. But there's always, whenever you think of technology, especially tech companies like to think big. And there's always this idea that somehow you're going to center around this. And I just don't see yet how we're going to center around it. And so basically I'm saying the future is grim. We're never going to use these things. And
I think, not to give away all the spoilers, but as we go through some of the other UIs in this series, I think voice is going to be a major part of it, but it can't stand alone, is my suspicion. And we'll need to actually build a hybrid of some of these other UIs that we'll be talking about. So
maybe there'll be a recognition of hands, so we'll all have to learn sign language.
It's all just going to be like, in VR anyway.
Yeah, pretty much.
I also have one point I want to make if we're done with this. It's kind of an aside, but it's an opinion I've had that I've been thinking about that relates to voice assistants. I don't know if you guys had an opinion on the future before I go into my little rant.
No, go ahead.
Do it.
Okay, so I, you know, Josiah, you pointed out some negative points about Siri and some positive points. I've had a pretty negative experience with Siri. And Siri, kind of like Google Maps or something like that, there's a lot of trust involved. If it doesn't work a couple times, you don't trust enough to use it. And I had enough situations because of the way Siri was set up. So one thing it does always is, and it was Apple's attempt to make it smarter, but it doesn't use Google Search. It uses Wolfram Alpha. But it always, every time I ask it something, at the end of the day, I want it to do a Google search. So that kind of annoyed me. Also, it always, and I know they're starting to open up these APIs, but since you had to use the default Apple apps, it always used that when I didn't use those. So yeah. It always got a lot of things wrong. So I had a lot of problems with Siri, and I genuinely didn't like it. Whereas when I was using Google Assistant, I used it quite a bit, and I liked it a lot because it was using the apps that I liked and things like that. However, Google always had this issue where they were inconsistent with naming it. They never gave it a real name. Like we even talked earlier, is it a Google Assistant? Is it Google Now? What is it? And they always, and I'm sure at one point they're thinking, why should we name it something like Siri Alexa when everybody knows what Google is? But it made it kind of confusing. And though Alexa has grown some brand awareness, I feel like we're a little bit in a bubble. Like the Echo has sold well, but I don't know if it's sold that well. Siri, on the other hand, I feel like everybody knows what Siri is. Steve Jobs, master marketer, he did a great job, and he sold us a future that ended up being a little bit dimmer than we thought, but everybody knows what Siri is. And I've seen so many videos of people, like on podcasts, let's say a video podcast, as a joke, they're like, oh, let's ask Siri to do it. And it's always some stupid response. But the funny thing is, Google is better, but nobody knows what it is because they're so bad at marketing and telling everybody what it is. And Siri, everybody knows what it is. It just needs to get better itself. And who knows if it's because they don't have the AI skills that Google does. Maybe it has to do with privacy because Google learns a lot from, you know, digging into what they know about you. And that's always going to be a crutch for Apple since they're pretty stringent on their privacy controls. And so there is a rumor that Apple is going to be releasing a Google Home / Alexa competitor soon. And I don't know what it's going to do, but unless Siri is significantly improved, I feel like that's going to be a terrible device. If it does smart things, though, it's going to be amazing because a lot of people have Apple TVs. A lot of people have Apple Music. There's so many perfect integrations. A lot of people like these Alexa and Home devices to tell it, hey, can you play a song for me? And it works well for that. So Apple has a really, like, they can do really well if they improve Siri. But I personally got really frustrated with Siri. And like I said, it's one of those things that if it doesn't work, you're not going to use it after a while because you know it didn't work the first time.
Yep.
All right, so that is going to do it for part one of this new series. Make sure you subscribe to us here on YouTube. Follow the Commentist so you can see when we're live, and you can join our conversation. Write us in, leave us some messages, let us know what you think. You can also listen to this show in podcast form by searching for the Commentist or The Unwind on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Make sure you check us out next week or whenever we do this, maybe in a couple days. Who knows? All right. Take care.
Hey, guys, do you think they were okay with how my hair looks?